Hello and welcome to another edition of the Scarlet Nation podcast. Here for 24/7 Sports, I'm Bobby Durin. Welcome to the Scarlet Nation podcast. We're going to be talking Rutgers basketball today. A lot to talk about. No games played yesterday, no games played tomorrow, no games played for a while, but there's still a lot going on, a lot to talk about. So to sort it out, I've brought on our newest staff member. Happy to announce Chris Kokonis. You are with us full time now, and you are talking Rutgers basketball. Chris, how you doing?
Well, first full-time day on the job. Couldn't be doing much better, Bobby, to be honest with you. And, yeah, it's an exciting time for Rutgers basketball. A lot of interesting things going on with the offseason and what this team's going to look like. So looking forward to breaking it down.
All right. Well, it's great to have you on board. And Chris, you know this team very well. You followed this team. You've covered this team. Big story right now, Cliff Amarui. Is he going to come back? Is he going to leave? What's going on? You know, we're all waiting to see what's going on. He didn't get selected to the NBA draft combine after the G League Elite Camp over this past weekend. So, I mean, that's not the greatest sign for his draft prospect, you know, the potential to get drafted. You know, how important is Cliff's return, potential return, I should say, to this team next season?
Well, it's kind of hard to overstate it, if I'm being perfectly honest. I mean, he was the guy for Rutgers in the paint last year. I mean, you look at some of the numbers, you average 13 points a game, rebounding. He was at around 9 rebounds a game, and he was just such a key player, mainly as a defensive and rebounding guy, of course, but also, you know, he provided a lot from close range for Rutgers. And, you know, we say it a lot, the Big Ten is almost always a big man's league year in and year out. The teams with good bigs tend to do a lot better than the ones that, you know, maybe don't. So I do think that Rutgers' fate next year relies in large part on what Cliff Amore's status looks like. If he's back, you know, you've got a good chunk of players back. I know Paul Mulcahy is the other question mark in terms of who is or isn't returning. But you've got Noah Fernandes coming in from UMass. I think he's going to be a really good scorer. Cam Spencer's coming back. I look for him to take a big next step. You know, can't forget about Gavin Griffiths either. You know, he's a guy who, you know, he's long, he's tall, he can shoot the three ball really well. That looks like it's going to be a matchup problem for opposing teams from day one. So I think if Amore comes back, Rutgers is in a really, really good spot. If he doesn't, you know, at this stage, you know, they pretty much have to go to Antoine Wolfolk and whoever they're able to get in the portal to sort of fill out those minutes. And then you're a lot more reliant on your guards. I'm not going to say, you know, oh, Rutgers isn't going to be able to compete. I don't think that's necessarily the issue. But I do think it's going to be a lot harder for Rutgers to get where they want to go without him than with him.
And, you know, you touched on the fact some guys are going to probably up their scoring and they're going to need it because, you know, Rutgers has prided itself on being a defensive team, defensive stopping toughness. You know, I don't have to get into too much detail about what their identity has been, but you look at this team, you need Amarui back for that, for, you know, the purpose of trying to maintain some semblance of a defensive presence in the low post. But you lose Caleb McConnell. Mawat Mag is coming off ACL. There's no telling when he will be back to his old self. And, you know, Caleb and Mawat were your two best defensive players last year. You need to kind of score more now. I mean, this identity of this team might be different. I mean, how much more do you think this team will have to score to maintain their winning ways?
Yeah, so I was doing some back of the envelope calculations before we came on. And by back of the envelope, I literally mean I sat down with the notepad and started adding and subtracting numbers. This is obviously very unscientific. We don't know how much. I mean, I think Gavin Griffith is going to be able to score at a decently high level from the moment he gets on campus. But obviously, you don't know with a college freshman until he suits up and until he's playing games. But let's take that out of the equation for a minute. Rutgers last year as a team averaged 68.4 points a game. If, let's say, Cliff Amore goes to play maybe overseas or G League, doesn't come back, that's 13 points of scoring right off the bat. So that would get you down to about 55.2. You know, you subtract, you know, Caleb McConnell too, because he's not coming back. He wasn't a very efficient scorer, but he did have, you know, some games where he put up a good amount of points. It's another 9 points there. It gets you back down into the 40s. And then you add in, of course, Noah Fernandes averaged 12 points a game from UMass. As I said before, he's going to be a guy to watch. That gets you back up some of the way, but you're going to need, if you're Rutgers, you need one, you need Griffiths to score at a decently high level. I think if he's, you know, playing 20, 25 minutes from the get-go, at least, if not more, I think that is obviously going to be big. But you also need some of the other guys to step up offensively. I mean, Derek Simpson, if he can develop a bit more of a jumper and be a bit more of a shooter to go along with what he showed in those flashes at the end of last year, that's obviously huge. I think if you see what Cam Spencer can do now that he's surrounded by more shooters, you know, I think that's going to open things up, because Cam Spencer is a guy that, you know, catch and shoot is really good, but he's not like some of the other good scorers that Rutgers have had in terms of like a Ron Harper Jr. or a Geo Baker, where they can create their own shot. If defenders have to focus on three guys in the perimeter at one time, like really dial in on them, that's going to open stuff up for Cam. So I think that is going to be big for Rutgers. But yeah, any way you cut it, Rutgers is going to need, you know, their new additions to, you know, step in from day one. And they also need the guys coming back, particularly the younger guys, to take a big step forward.
Yeah, and I think that's key, the step forward. This is a team that lost 8 out of its last 11 games last season and didn't look pretty doing it at times. So they're really going to have to, you know, find a way to put the ball in the basket. And it seems like Paul Mulcahy, from everything I'm hearing, is going to come back. I wouldn't expect an announcement tomorrow, but I do anticipate his return. He's still got some unfinished business on the table, and the way he finished last season, I know, is not the way he wants to go out of his college career. You know, he had nagging injuries that really impacted his play. And I mean, you could even see when he would hesitate before a three-point shot, it was kind of like he was trying to figure out how to do it, not at 100%. So I do think he'll return, and Cliff, if he comes back, you still have two roster spots. So if Mawat is still, you know, not fully available at the beginning of the season, you're talking about 10 guys. So you have, you know, those two extra scholarships, and I think Steve really needs to fill them, really needs to get that depth, because, you know, as you saw last year, you need it at times. And what would you like to see out of the transfer portal if he can grab another player or two?
I think if we get another addition, it's almost certainly going to be someone who's either a center or, you know, a taller forward, someone who can really fill in what's left of those front court minutes. Because if you look at the backcourt, I mean, between Spencer, Fernandes, assuming Paul Mulcahy comes back, Derek Simpson as well, you know, that the backcourt, I think, is more or less set. Maybe they could add another guy there, but I think there are more minutes to be had in the front court. And you know, just to be frank, Rutgers, I think, is going to need another guy if they're going to have the depth necessary to have a front court that can compete with the best in the Big Ten. Because let's say for a moment, you know, from Rutgers' perspective, optimistically, Cliff Amore comes back. His backup is still Antoine Wolfolk, who showed some flashes to his credit, and I think he has a lot of potential, but he's still a guy that I think is going to need a little more seasoning. I think they'd like to bring in someone a little more experienced, with a little more veteran experience, to complement that. So that way, you know, if, say, Amore gets into foul trouble, for instance, you're not, you know, relying all on Wolfolk and seeing what he can do. So I think they're going to need another depth piece, regardless of what happens with Cliff. But, you know, we're just going to have to wait and see.
And I do see what you're saying about Wolfolk. He, you know, the first time I saw him last year in an early practice, you could see that this guy has some tools to work with. And I was more impressed with him than I thought I would be from a just a talent standpoint. But as you said, he needs a little bit more polish. But you could see it at the end of the year. He had a couple stints there in those final couple games where he was a presence out there. He scored. He defended well. I mean, now you have to do it at a consistent level. But I do think there's hope. But you're right, it's too much to put on him at one time. And you know what, Chris, the Bane Odongo decommitment really hurts, because he was expected to play a big role this season. Just a guy that kind of did it all and had the size and was really coming on. And I think that was a big loss for Rutgers there towards the end, you know, when he decommitted a couple weeks ago.
Oh, no question. And I do think he had been, and I'm stating the obvious here, but I do think he had been part of the long-term plans of this staff for quite some time, and understandably so. He's got an incredible tool set at his disposal. You know, he was a guy that if he stayed with Rutgers would have been a key piece from the get-go, and over the next year or two would have really developed into a nice player. So that's obviously a big loss, and I think that's the reason why the front court looks relatively thin at the moment. And for the staff now, I think the question is, what's your plan B? What do you go to next? So that I think is going to be the key thing to watch. But from the backcourt's perspective, I think it's a much better outlook.
And Chris, a lot of changes in this team next year. I, you know, if you asked me right now, I don't think it's an NCAA tournament team right now, because just the way they finished last season, there's so many question marks. But that remains to be seen. And Pyko has a way of getting the most out of his players. You know, hopefully that's the case again this coming season. But what are you most excited to see about this team going into a new season that will potentially be a different look Rutgers team than what we've seen over the past few years?
I'm excited to see the three-point scoring. I think that this is going to be the best group of three-point shooters Rutgers has had in a while. And I think that's going to open things up offensively. I think, you know, when people talk about the offense last year, I do think at the end of the day, you could talk about, you know, could they have run different kinds of sets and this and that. I think that's kind of beside the point. I think last year's team, very talented defensively, excelled in a lot of different areas. But they didn't have a lot of pure shooters on the team. It just wasn't how the roster was constructed. And I think that doesn't matter how good your coaching staff is, and Rutgers certainly has a good coaching staff. If you don't have enough guys that can shoot the basketball in today's basketball, it's going to be hard to score points. And that's what you saw with Rutgers, particularly down the stretch. Now you've got Cam Spencer, of course, coming back. You've got Noah Fernandes, who is a very efficient three-point shooter. You've got a few guys that can shoot. And, of course, Gavin Griffiths, if he can hit the ground running, that's obviously going to add another dynamic, because not only is he a good shooter, but he's also on the taller side. And that, you know, creates matchup problems that Rutgers can then exploit. When you have multiple guys can shoot the rock, that opens up a lot of things, because not only can you make shots, but it opens up space on the inside, because the perimeter defenders have to come out and close out on more of your guys on the floor. That's going to create space on the inside. And it's going to be a lot easier to move the basketball and get more efficient looks with this year's group of shooters. So I would say the three-point shooting and to a greater extent, the offense is what I'm excited to see. I think it's going to be hard for Rutgers defensively to, be quite as good as they were last year on that end, just because they don't have Caleb McConnell and possibly not Cliff Amore. But the offense, I think, should be improved.
And, you know, I think fans would much rather see a game, when you're losing, if you lose 78-77 than if you lose 44-43. The offense, you know, sometimes it seemed like last season you're just begging for somebody to do something on the offensive end. You talk about numbers and efficiency. I was going through the numbers, and Andre Hyatt's numbers last year were almost equivalent to what a Kwasi Yeboah's were a few years back. But if you remember, Yeboah was so much more effective than Hyatt. Well, I know Hyatt helped him win a couple games last year, but on a consistent basis, it just says at some point, you know, you can't read too deeply into the numbers, because you wouldn't compare those two as having an equal impact. But that being said, it will be nice to see some more scoring on that end. And there's still some fireworks left, because you got two open roster spots if Cliff and Paul both return. And Pyke, I know, didn't always want to fill all 13, because it's tough to manage 13 personalities. Some guys aren't going to get the minutes that they want, but at this point I think you just got to load them up and the best guy will play, and then, you know, just sort it out accordingly. If a guy doesn't like his minutes, he can always transfer. So and another guy we didn't talk about who got kind of under the radar last year, Antonio Chol, maybe this is a guy that can help. You know, he's supposedly a good outside shooter. We didn't really see much of him last year. I mean, is this a guy who could come in and maybe make some noise here or there?
It would certainly be a huge benefit for Rutgers if he could. And you know, he only played four games in November, didn't play a lot of minutes in those games. So you really don't have much of any of a game time sample size to look at if you're evaluating him. The one thing I will say that stood out to me, though, is, you know, you were talking a second ago about Kwasi Yeboah and how he compared with Andre Hyatt. That was a comparison that Steve Peichel used a while back when he was talking about Antonio Chole and what he could do. So that's an intriguing one for me. I don't know how much of a role he'll play this year. Though if you had asked me in November if Antoine Wolfolk would have picked up and gotten into a bigger role towards the end of the season, I probably wouldn't have believed you either. And he did. So it could be something where he sort of fills in and gets his feet under him as the season goes on. I would expect to see more of him just because, you know, this last year was kind of like a red shirt ish kind of a year. And now he's got an off season under his belt, you know, spend time in conditioning, working on his shot, working on his game. I would expect to see him to a greater extent, if nothing else, because, you know, he's a forward and it's an area that at the moment is a little bit thin for Rutgers. So I do think we'll see more of him.
And, you know, he'll have an opportunity because, you know, early on in the season, Rutgers will play some teams that they're going to have comfortable leads against. And with Mag, you know, on the mend, yeah, I wouldn't expect his minutes to be very high at the outset of the season. So, you know, that could, you know, his opportunity could be there on the floor, those early games, which leads me to another one. You know, Chris, last year, Rutgers didn't make the NCAA tournament. And one of the criteria that was mentioned by the committee was that they didn't have a tough out of conference schedule. You know, strength of schedule out of conference was weak. I don't expect Peichel to really change things up much this year in regard to, you know, who they play. I mean, they did play some soft teams last year, but what's your take on that? Do you want to see more tough teams before the Big Ten season, or are you content with them kind of, you know, beating up some teams and getting some easy wins?
Well, I don't think we're going to see a drastic change in terms of, you know, what the out-of-conference scheduling looks like. And of course, we don't have the full out-of-conference slate yet, so it's still very much an open question. But I don't think it's going to be like what, say, Gonzaga does, or even what like a Michigan State does, where they're playing in all of these different things, you know, all these different neutral site games and stuff. I could see them doing, you know, obviously you've got Seton Hall penciled in. You've got, I think they'll have one or two other games against high major opponents. Maybe they do a neutral site thing at Madison Square Garden. I don't know what you've been hearing, Bobby, but I've heard some rumblings about that just, you know, online. And certainly the fans would like that. So I think it'll be something like that. Maybe it'll be a little bit tougher. Maybe when we look at the mid majors that they schedule, it'll be teams in like the 100 to 200 range on KenPom and not the, you know, 300 plus. I could see that, but I don't think it's going to be drastic. I think if you're Steve Peichel, you're looking at how the last few seasons have gone. Yeah, the end of the season didn't go the way you wanted it to, of course. But the scheduling philosophy that he's had has gotten Rutgers in the previous three seasons before last season in position to make the NCAA tournament. And you know, to your point, they were really like, you know, had they held on to beat Minnesota, maybe gotten one other win too, they really wouldn't have really been on the bubble either. Because they were a 5-6 seed, you know, heading into February, and then things, as we know, kind of unraveled. But like they were in position to make the NCAA tournament, and if a couple bounces don't go their way, or do go their way rather, they're on a 3-year tournament streak, really 4-year if you count the COVID year. So if you're Steve Peichel, what you're doing's worked. You play in maybe not toughest in terms of what the metrics say. Last year that was the Big 12, but Big 10 I think is the deepest conference. And, you know, every night is a battle with how they play. You know, it's a more physical style of basketball, more big man oriented. If you're Steve Peichel, why change? You know, it's easy to look at one season and you narrowly miss a tournament. And yes, it's disappointing. Yes, fans are upset. But Steve Peichel's goal is to make the NCAA tournament and put the team in a position to make the NCAA tournament. And he's largely been successful in doing that. I don't really see the incentive for him to change. I don't think he's going to see incentive to change, rather. So I wouldn't expect a drastic change in the out-of-conference scheduling, to be perfectly honest. But we'll see.
I'm with you on that one. And that you know, usually comes out in the summer. It seems like every year some of the games are announced earlier and earlier. But that's another thing we'll follow up and have you on. And you know, it's just a lot of excitement building. But it is kind of a season, you know, with a lot of question marks. So Chris, thanks for coming on to hash things out. I know there's a lot going on, but great to have you on board. And we'll be talking Rutgers basketball on the message board 24/7. You can interact with Chris and myself there. Keep listening. We'll keep you updated on everything Rutgers basketball, everything Rutgers football on ScarletNation.com with the 24/7 Sports Network. Until next time, thanks for listening. See you later.